So good morning again. Today we are thinking about something quite different. We are pausing our sermons on the book of Romans. We'll come back to that next week. Today we're thinking about our vision as a church. Recently the elders and the staff team and I had an away day in here. So not much awayness happened, but you know, it's free if it's in here. And we try to do one once, at least once a year, alongside our usual pattern of praying together. To spend time seeking God for his direction for our church, and it's a good practice to do that together as a leadership team. We worship together. We reflected on what God has been doing by writing our own psalms of thankfulness. And we revisited our church vision. That stays the same. Our vision is to grow a relevant, Christ-like church that serves our community. And we began by trying to discern what God may be saying to us. What he's done in the past year, what foundations has he established recently? And we prayed together, together and apart. And then when we joined back together, several people had discerned the same thing, which we prayed into that. Something about the theme of unity, of being stronger when we're together. We're all different people. We've got different thoughts, different beliefs often, but together we are stronger. And we had the image of a rope, and you'll see on all of our literature this image of this four-stranded rope. The strands join together and makes the whole rope stronger. We were reminded of that scripture from Ecclesiastes. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And we spent lots of time asking God and discerning together what our focus should be in the next year, in 2024. And we believe that God led us to our four themes, four areas of action in 2024. Resources, outreach, prayer, and expectation. And if you are very clever, you will notice that they spell out rope. Genius! Love it when things come together. And together, so today we are going to be briefly hearing about each of those areas. And we're going to pray about them later on. You'll be hearing more about all of this later on. All of us will have been given one of these as we arrived today, a card to take home with you with the priorities for the year, and on the back with a bit of a psalm that one of the elders wrote as part of our away day, which fits in with our theme. So we're going to start with resources, and the lovely Sarah is going to tell us all about that. Thank you, Sarah.
Right, okay. I'll just wait for my first slide.
One of the PowerPoints is crashing. I think it might be yours.
There we go. Okay, that's fine. So, The focus of our financial resource is to develop a strategy of teaching to improve awareness of the financial picture of the church, to encourage increased giving throughout 2024. So, as members, we have a collective responsibility to understand the financial picture of the church. Jimmy clearly lays out the headlines in this quarterly report. The operating costs of this church are high and prices are increasing, even though we're trying everything to keep the prices down and making efficiencies. The more we do, the more it costs. We're extremely fortunate to be able to employ a staff team, and that as a church, our membership is growing. Fully understanding what these figures are is really important. As a new elder, and therefore trustee, I've increased responsibility in this area, and I've been trying to get my head round things a little bit more. As I said in the church meeting, I've only just realised that we pay £375 per member to National URC, and that price is going to be increasing every year. God provides, yes, but we need to recognise our responsibility too, and here's why. I love a chart. Now, I know you probably won't be able to see that. There's a replica over there. But put simply, over the last 8 years, green is the money in, blue is the money out, and yellow is our increasing deficit. So as you can see, our giving and our income isn't quite back to pre-COVID figures, and that yellow line is currently going in the wrong direction. So the next part of our financial priority, therefore, is to encourage more giving. When we think of the widow's offering in Luke 21, she offered all she had to God. We know everyone has different means and circumstances, and this isn't to guilt anybody into giving more money or making them feel bad about not giving, but it's an opportunity to prayerfully consider, are we giving all that we can? It's our own personal responsibility, and we should be carefully considering what we give. We shouldn't feel forced or feel we're giving begrudgingly. After all, we're giving for His glory and to grow His church. But there are some simple changes that we could be praying about, and actually, they could impact now. We may not even have to wait till 2024 to put some of these into place. And I'm challenging myself here too. Have you considered your direct debit? When did you last change it? Because, you know, if your wages have increased, those of us who are still employed, your wages might have gone up, but your direct debit might have stayed the same. Do you gift aid? 25% extra can be added if you're a UK taxpayer or married to one. And if every £10 we did that, that's an extra £2.50. It's great to have the convenience of the card machine at the back, but we don't get gift aid so easily on that. And so these little things. But also, if you're sitting there and you're not yet giving, could this be the time to start? The second priority focus for us is volunteers. To continue to ensure we have sufficient volunteers to meet the needs of our current and future church groups, to support them and ensure that the right person is in the right role. We are the body of Christ, and each of us is a part of it. We have a clear volunteer strategy for those who serve and a priority to keep everyone safe in our church. You'll always see the vacancies on the notice board at the back. Some roles are requiring more support, some individual, some as part of a team. Serving in roles can be seasonal, and if you've served in a role for a while, you may feel it's time for a change. Is God telling you to consider if you're still the right fit in that area? Could you start serving in a new role? Would you be the right fit there? It's important your gifts are used in the right area and you're happy as you serve God's people in church and our community. To summarise, our church is growing, which is brilliant. But what's the picture going to look like in 3 to 5 years if we don't have enough money for staff and there aren't enough volunteers to keep the activities going? And that's why we have this as a priority. And that's a bit hard, isn't it? But in a few years, if things stay the same, we may have to make some very difficult decisions. Reduced finances and volunteers means we have to reduce activities. And when the church is moving so positively forward, that would be a real shame. We've seen how God has provided when we as a church stepped out in faith over Emma's role. We and our resources are part of God's provision, and we should use them to fulfill God's purpose for us and therefore give glory to him. And I'm now handing over...
back to me. Thank you,
to the lovely Louise.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. So that's our first priority is our resources. So it won't surprise you that our second priority, these aren't in order of the ones that are the most important, they all have equal importance, is outreach. Our shorter vision strapline is connecting our community to Christ. That's our reason for being. Before that, in years gone by, our vision statement was introducing people to Jesus. Some of you might remember that. That always amused me. Jesus, meet people. People, meet Jesus. Introducing people to Jesus. But the idea behind both of them is the same thing. We want people, our friends, our family, our work colleagues, our neighbours, our community, to meet with Jesus and be transformed through faith in him. Amen? Thank you. Why? Because we believe that when God gets his hands on us, healing happens. Marriages are restored, hope reignites, lives get turned around, and futures are reformed. It is good news. And so, of course, we do want to share it. Matthew talked about the Great Commission and the task of us as disciples to make new disciples. You'll know these words really well. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. That's our reason for being as disciples, is to glorify God and to make new disciples. As Sarah already said, we've been blessed recently with new church members coming and bringing their gifts to work in this part of God's kingdom. And we believe that God has done that for a reason. Some of our newest church members, you will all know, are mature, established Christians. And we're grateful that God sends us workers to help with the harvest. That is fantastic. But we don't want to be a church that just attracts Christians. And our outreach goal is that we are so equipped and encouraged to share our faith and to be so actively invitational that there will be new fruit in new people attending and people giving their lives to Christ. That is what we want. We are not ashamed of that goal. We are explicit in it, that we believe that God is calling us to make new disciples, new believers, new Christians. We've talked a lot about evangelism in recent days. We've had a sermon theme going along with the synod theme of talking faith. And you might be going, oh, we're still talking about evangelism. Yes, yes, we are still talking about evangelism. We can't get away from it because it's what the church is meant to do. It's important. But I know that perhaps not everybody has the same enthusiasm as I do about the subject of evangelism. It's not a natural gifting to everybody. And people sometimes have that reaction. It's like, oh no, not evangelism, please don't make me do it. And we often come up with lots of good excuses that we don't have the gift for it, it's not my thing, it doesn't work for me. We hear all of those sort of reasons for not evangelizing. I was struck with this quote from Oswald J. Smith, which is not there. It's coming, okay? It was there earlier. How unusual. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. Eek. There you go. I didn't imagine it. There it is. Very few Christians would claim to be good at evangelism, but we can always improve. We can always be more comfortable in telling people about Jesus. We can always become more effective enough to see God do some amazing things in the lives of our unsaved friends and family. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we all need to be equipped for ministry. Paul in Ephesians says this. They seem to all be going a little bit pear-shaped. There we go. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We need to be equipped in every area of ministry so we are effective, so we can function properly and productively. That's one of our kind of words for the year. There we go. Equip, share, and invite. We're going to be equipped, hopefully, with training, with teaching, perhaps through our fellowship groups. And we're going to be looking at creative ways in which we can equip ourselves to be sharing our faith. We're going to be encouraging you to step out in faith and to share your faith and your hope, to share Jesus with your community, to keep on doing that, even if that is a challenge for you, even if that is unnatural for you. We're going to be trying to find ways to help one another do that. And we're going to create opportunities so that you can invite people. Now, I think this church thinks that they're good at invitation. I'm not so sure if you actually are as good as you think you are. Sorry. Sometimes we're not brilliant at it. So we're going to be encouraging you to be saying that to your friends and your family. I'm going. It's going to be good. Will you come with me? On my sabbatical a couple of years ago, I spent time talking to church leaders who do evangelism at Christmas really well. And I went to speak to a leader of a big church, an Elim church in the West Midlands, who emphasised that the biggest opportunity they have is the power of invitation. From the Christian who has invested in relationship with their non-Christian friend. And so this church leader, he tries to create an invitational culture in everything the church does. So church people are confident to invite people to everything that the church offers. But especially special events. And he used the biblical story of Zacchaeus as an illustration. In the story, Zacchaeus is too short to see Jesus. Yay, short people of the world, like me. So what he does is he climbs a tree. And it's the tree that gives him the opportunity to see. And so the events that we put on are the tree that help people get a better look at Jesus. Like our comedy nights, like our theatre nights, or Alpha, or small groups. The church creates the tree that gives people the opportunity to see Jesus through hearing the gospel. But the invitation is in the hands of the congregation to get people to the tree. We're aiming to have a culture in this church of invitation to everything, to invite people to the tree. We want to equip every single one of you to share Jesus, to invite people into a relationship with him. And our big goal is new people attending church and people committing their lives to Christ for the first time. Amen? Amen. I'm going to come back to you on that. You've said amen. Colin is going to talk about prayer. We're going quick to everything. Do you want that one?
No, mind. Okay, so just because I'm going to have the shortest talk, in order we might catch up a little bit, doesn't mean it's not important. So I'm talking about prayer, and in this case, I'm talking within the context of our worship services mostly. Our vision for the coming year is to re-establish in a slightly different form, the prayer ministry, which has been so central to the life of our church. What we want to be doing here in West Kirby URC, we've done for years, but we kind of haven't done it so purposefully for the last little while, and that is prayer ministry within the fellowship of our church. But what we want to do is we want to encourage everybody to be part of the prayer ministry team in a sense. So I think in the evening service, what we're proposing to do is to have a prayer enabling team in this coming year. And the idea is that people will have some training and will be able to support others who want to pray for their friends. So there'll be people with the role of enablers. It's easier, I think, for me to explain this by actually giving an example. So I decide that I need prayer, which at the moment I most definitely do. And so I ask my friend if they would pray for me. And we decide together that actually it'd be really good to have somebody else to support both of us in prayer. So we go and see the prayer enabler, and they say, well, I'll pray for you. Or they might say, well, have a chat with George. He would be an obvious candidate, wouldn't he? So that means there's now three of us, two of them, my friend and George, praying for me. So you've got these people who are able to support us as we pray for one another. This is very scriptural, isn't it? I mean, Matthew 18:20 says, for where there are two or three that gather together in my name, I am there with them. So together, we go to the prayer enabler and we pray together. So that's what we're going to reestablish in the evening service. In the morning, we're going to do something slightly different, but it's something that actually we've been doing for decades. Well, we started decades ago. We haven't done it so much recently. And the idea of that is we do something that's a little bit more formal, obviously being the church we now are, rather than a slightly stuffy Presbyterian church we were when we first did it, it's going to be different. But we're going to put chairs out at the front. We're going to have a time in one service each term in the coming year where people can come forward and we can just pray for them. In a quite formal way, you don't have to say what you need prayer for. You can just come and sit on the chair, and an elder or a member of the prayer team will pray over you and say probably a prayer like the one from Numbers 6, 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I don't know about everybody else, but I sure need a few helpings of peace at the moment. Lord, give me more peace. As part of our prayer thing in a few minutes' time, when we look at the prayer stations after Rob's finished, we will actually have a chair beside the prayer station. If you come and sit on that chair, we will pray that prayer over you. I think Kath and George are ready to do that. Oh, it's strange, it's going to be George. a safe pair of hands. So if you would like somebody to pray that prayer over you, then do come and sit on that chair and let us do that. That would be absolutely lovely. We would love to do that. So that's what we got in store for this coming year in terms of taking our corporate prayer forward, our prayer ministry, our ministry of prayer to one another. Rob, it's your turn.
Come on, you can do it. Excellent, right. I'm on expectation, folks. Good morning. The last but not least part of this is expectation. Are we a church that is expecting God to move? God is on the move. He is building his church. Where are we? Click on. Is it that way? There we go. As Louise said, since COVID, we've had loads of people coming into the church. But mature Christians, but gifted mature Christians with specific gifts, a number of specific gifts often, but they've come in with maturity and ready to serve. We've had 3 new elders this year, all with different gifting coming in, and we've got a new worship development coordinator. So as you can start to see, God is on the move and he is building a specific type of building. I like to think of it a bit like this, if you've got all the pieces and God is sending you all the bits and pieces of a building and you start to put them together, you can start to see where you're going. When Sir Christopher Wren was building St. Paul's Cathedral, nobody came up to him and said, what do I do with this duck pond? It just wasn't there. That wasn't part of the building plan. And so you can start to see what is starting to take shape. But we need to see, as I say, we need to see what is over the horizon, what the building is going to be like, and therefore we need to start to build up our spiritual gifts. And that is one of the key areas. We talk, the spiritual gifts includes what Colin was talking about, healing and prayer ministry. But there's lots and lots of others. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:12, so it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. So we believe that God is developing us to lead us into to develop our spiritual gifts. So I'm asking you, as individuals, and asking myself, am I pregnant with what God is wanting to use me for? Am I pregnant with a spiritual gift that he's wanting to bring out? And do you want to know the direction God is wanting to take us in? Do you want to see people healed and set free? We're talking about evangelism, but one of the great ways you see throughout the gospel history, the church and church history, is that when people are healed and set free, do you know what? They get saved. That's part of what goes on. So do you want to see people come to Jesus? If the answer is yes, build up the spiritual gifting within the church. And these are things which, some things we might be really comfortable with. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, stepping out in faith, healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues. These are all spiritual gifts which Paul specifically identifies as required for building up the church. I want to say this, safety first. We need to put on the full armour of God as a church fellowship when we start to ask for the spiritual gifts. because there is a risk in all these things. And so it's ensuring that there, at all times, the body is protected by good leadership, and that there are clear channels of authority for things to take place. So that if somebody does have a word of knowledge or prophecy, that it's tested by the elders first before it goes out to the congregation, and somebody picks it up and say, "What the heck's this? I thought this," etc., etc., etc. So it's really important to have really strong lines of authority. Back to church unity. We each of us have a responsibility towards each other. Again, if you want spiritual gifting to flourish within a church, if there isn't a unity within the body, people going off in different directions, there is so much potential risk to the church. It is incredibly important that we work together to build a united church. And we need to pray into our vision and for the protection and wisdom of the elders and leaders. Will ensure, lastly I should say, that look towards developing spiritual gifting, that everybody needs to be is fully trained. Okay, that's expectation. I hope you are expecting that God is on the move. I think when you start to see what everybody has brought, and as I say, during that our away day, as Louise said, elders were coming with the same part of the jigsaw, putting it all together, and often two or more had the same piece. That's it's quite encouraging, and I'll be encouraging to say that God is on the move in this place. Amen.
So that's our four priority areas for 2024. Obviously, church life continues. We're not just doing those four things and nothing else. But that's the four different areas that we've been led to concentrate on in 2024. Now, we're going to spend some time praying about each of those four areas. And we have prepared some prayer stations along the side of the church, in order, resources, outreach, prayer, and expectation. And we're going to spend some time, I invite you, just to spend some time at each of the prayer stations. And because there's more of us than there is over there, I'd like to encourage you to take your time and maybe sit quietly if you wish to, spending some time in your seat praying too. And you could also be praying whilst you're sitting and over there, for those you know in the congregation at the moment who are struggling, for those who are having hospital treatment, perhaps spending some time praying for those who are watching and waiting for a loved one to die, and people who need our prayers at the moment. And goodness knows the world needs the impact of the Prince of Peace right now. And when the time is right, Emma is going to draw us back together and we'll continue in sung worship. Colin is going to put some quiet music on in a moment, and then I'll just give you the opportunity to spend some time going round the prayer stations or sitting quietly at your seat and praying through what you've heard this morning and giving it all to God. Should we pray together before we start? Lord God, thank you for all that we've heard this morning so far. Thank you for the ways in which you speak and you have guided the leadership of this church. And we pray as we seek your face once more that together you would speak to us as individuals, that you would open our hearts and our minds, and you would draw us closer and nearer to you. Holy Spirit, speak as we seek the Father's heart, as we seek the Father's will together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to pray as you are able to do so.